We have a new person in studio.
Yes, Chris is here.
Chris? Oh, hello, Chris.
Chris Zeke Hand.
Yes.
Going to talk to us a little bit about the Montreal Museum of Fine Arts. Now, there is an Andy Warhol exhibit.
Yes, there is, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, he says.
Unfortunately, oh,
yeah, sort of like saying, okay, Celine Dion's playing at the Bell Center for the next decade.
And you know what? That show, that place would be sold out for the next decade.
And that's why they put the Warhol show over at the Museum of Fine Arts, because they want to sell out. They made a record amount of money last year, and they had a record amount of people, and now they're trying to beat all of that.
Is there going to be anything new and different from the exhibition that were at the museum last year?
Which one? There was, if I'm thinking correctly, you're confusing the Royal Ontario Museum with the Museum of Fine Arts, because it was in Toronto.
I'm not confusing anything. Okay. I'm just going on what you just said. That they had a sellout at the museum last year.
So this year. That was for different shows. This is the first time in
It is a completely different show.
Yeah, it is completely different show. It is, initially it was done with the best of intentions. It's the sort of thing where Stephane Aquin, who was the curator at the museum and is a very nice gentleman and knows his stuff inside out and backwards, actually discovered, despite all the research hype and stuff that has been involved about Andy Warhol, that there's one thing that had never been done, and he said, whoa, I can do this. And so he decided to try and combine music and Andy Warhol's art. And in his research, he spent probably lots of hours flying back and forth from here to Pittsburgh, which is where most of the archives are, traveled around the corner, and actually came up with some very, very cool ideas on how music influenced Andy Warhol.
Music?
Yes.
Okay. Now, was it music? Now, here's an interesting question. Was it music that influenced Andy Warhol, or was it the musicians themselves that influenced Andy Warhol?
Depending on what you're looking at, part of his thesis was that John Cage was a seminal influence on how Andy Warhol viewed art making and his bunch of his printmaking stuff and so on. However, then you can look at other stuff and realize that there is no real connection. The difficulty that I have with the show is that while the idea is interesting, while Stephane Aquin's ideas do make a lot of sense and he backs them up, when you go see the stuff, when you see the show, you don't get any of that. You buy the catalog, and it's got the 30,000-page, three-syllable explanations that make it sound like he knows what he's talking about, and he does know what he's talking about. But when you see it in front of you, it's, there are a couple of paintings there. There's some Brillo boxes, and at which point,
are we going to see the Andy Warhol classics, the can of tomato soup?
There are many different cans of tomato soup. The two that are there are not the ones that you're used to because they're colored. And so it's the sort of thing he has Day-Glo colors in the background and has shifted the colors on the can. But yes, there are some Campbell soups. Okay. There's also his Triple Elvis.
Nice.
There is also the Brillo boxes. There are some Coca-Cola bottles, which are absolutely phenomenal. However, unfortunately, there's also the reservation book at Studio 54. There is his receipt for the Metropolitan Opera. There's a whole lot of other sort of stuff, ephemera.
See, things you don't know about artists.
Yeah, but to me, it's the sort of thing where I'd much rather go to the Museum of Fine Arts to go see the art.
Okay. As opposed to the minutia.
Exactly. Yeah. It's if I want to study and delve into the life of Andy Warhol, I can do that. It's there. And then on top of it, it's in Pittsburgh, and so I can go travel, because it is really like dealing with somebody else's life. If you have to travel, it's not so bad. But it is then trying to make that point. I would much prefer that the point was made a lot more solidly if I'm just going to pay, because I'm going to have to pay $15 to go see the show, $65 for the catalog. I figure it's a little bit pricey if you're not sort of getting anything out of it just by seeing it, and at which point I'd much rather see, $15. Let me not only see the Elvis, let me see the Marilyns, let me see the other
films.
The Andy Warhol films are really, really boring. He has 8 hours of just looking at the Empire State Building.
So the press conference was last Wednesday.
Yes.
When is the exhibition going to run from? In Montreal.
The show is up now, and it goes until middle of January 2009.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Andy Warhol effectively defined pop culture. In fact, some people say for a generation he did. Now, the thing is, we keep seeing more and more of Andy Warhol because it's hard to say that anybody else has come along to redefine pop culture.
No, there are. To me, it's Andy Warhol is more like a global brand, sort of along the lines of Kellogg's.
That defines pop culture. We find another one.
No, there are.
Are there potential Andy Warhols out there?
Oh, the tons of them. And awesome. To me, it is that, it's Andy Warhol now, especially, 20 years after his death, has become like the New York Yankees, like Manchester United, like Kellogg's, and it is no longer him. It is just the brand, and it is then, because it is a brand, it is the sort of thing where people now are dependent on the brand so as to pay their rent, feed themselves, and so on, and it is totally and entirely removed from the art. Which is why you put the Warhol show up at the museum, because it will get people in. Doesn't matter what it is, and at which point, yes, Stefan had a cogent, a wonderful, interesting idea, but he can slap anything up on the walls, and it just says Warhol.
So you have an estate? I'm sorry.
That's okay.
To disrupt you, but did you have an estate? I just wondered. And it's Andy Warhol estate.
Yeah, there's a whole museum in Pittsburgh that is the Andy Warhol Museum. And they have probably, 30, 40 people who work there full time. And then at the press conference for the show, they mentioned how there were 6 million people last year who went to see officially authorized Andy Warhol shows that were organized in conjunction with the Andy Warhol Museum, which to me is exactly like, the New York Yankees saying Montreal Canadiens saying we've sold out 6,000 games in a row. Mm. This town is hockey. Pittsburgh, this town is Andy Warhol, and so on. And that's where I sort of get a little bit frustrated, because it takes beyond the actual art. And
speaking of frustration, we think of artists who define generations, like Andy Warhol, Pablo Picasso. Are there artists like that exist today? And I'm not talking about Jason Pollock and stuff like that. I'm talking about, are there artists who actually not just produce art, but actually live art and travel in those circles? Anybody that you can think of? If you want to talk about branding, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's funny because branding has meant that Andy Warhol has actually become that can of Campbell's tomato soup. Mm-hmm. Do we have anybody? The only thought that comes to my mind is someone like Madonna.
If you're looking at actual straight visual arts, you have Damien Hirst.
Okay.
You know the dead shark guy?
Okay.
And he just recently, it was 3 days before the Warhol show opened, he had decided to twist the art world on its head, and as opposed to selling his art through a gallery where then the gallery gets 50% of a commission, theoretically sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more, but you have to give the gallery guy his due. He decided he was going
Chris to... Chris worked at a gallery, by the way.
He decided he was going to sell it straight to the consumer at auction at Sotheby's, and Sotheby's only charges 15% commission, although it depends. It's a floating price range, but it is roughly a 15% commission, and his auction scored $200 million.
Wow.
And you say, wow, but it is, to me, it's when you say that Picasso defined a generation and Warhol defined a generation, to me, they just grabbed a lot of headlines. It is the sort of thing where there's a...
Well, like it or not, whether or not they represented that generation is a total matter altogether. But the fact that academia has chosen those people to define the generation...
I would think it's not so much academia. It's pop, Western culture, Western pop culture, in the same way that the Canadians are hockey, and the same way the Yankees are baseball and Manchester United is soccer. It's Andy Warhol, for better or worse, is art. And to me, it's once you start looking at it slightly a little bit more closer, you realize the New York Yankees aren't all baseball. It is a lot of other stuff around there, and there are a lot of other baseball teams involved. Andy Warhol, yes, did art, but there are a lot of other artists around there, and he is not the sole be-all and end-all, and yes.
He's in the archives, for goodness sake. That's
yes.
Why?
And at which point, if you wanted to be in the archives, you could be as well.
That's true.
And to me, your archives are probably much more interesting than Andy Warhol's.
Interesting. So do you suggest that people do go see the show, or are you calling right here for a worldwide ban of Andy Warhol?
I would love to see a worldwide ban of Andy Warhol. However, it's not going to happen, and I realize there are some things that are significant and worthwhile. And so what I would say is that this coming weekend, if I got it right, there's this thing that the province is doing called Les Journées de la Culture.
Okay.
And Les Journées de la Culture is where the government convinces pretty much anybody who is any way affiliated with the arts, let's give it up for free and let's get lots of people to go see it. So the museum, going along with the idea, opens its doors for free.
Oh, yeah, that's
and,
right.
And also on Wednesday nights, the museum only charges $7.50. Although if you're a student, I think it's $7.50 at all times to go see it. And so I would not, I'd say it's
but
worth it.
But during the day, it's open. You could just go open house like.
Yeah, this weekend for the Les Journées de la Culture. And to me, it is the sort of thing, the Andy Warhol show is not worth the $15. It's worth the $7.50 for the triple Elvis, for the Brillo boxes, and for those significant pieces of art that he did. And at which point, if you can get it for free, so much the better.
Now, you were at the press conference that was held a couple days ago. Was it on Wednesday, I think?
Something like that, yes.
To announce this this conference. Was it all was it all wine and cheese and publicity and good vibes, or were there people voicing opinions such as yours at the press conference?
No. The standard issue press conferences for the museum is, well, first they're in the morning, so it's not wine and cheese. It's coffee, croissants, stuff like that.
Right.
The museum does lay out a very nice spread. and then also because most people sort of take art at face value. It's there, it's on the wall, it's got a frame, it's in a museum, therefore it must be art. There's not an awful lot of give and take back and forth. It's the sort of thing where, yeah, I would imagine, what would be in a similar analogy? Yeah, with the press conferences for the economic crisis that the United States is going through. It's if you watch them on C-SPAN, it's the sort of thing, there's not an awful lot of give and take. It's a lot of give, give, give. And then afterwards, people start doing
their... Well, it's the majority you're giving, and it's the government taken.
But and it's similar at the museum in that they put out what they want to say, and then because most of the people covering it don't know the details all that much, they accept it pretty much at face value.
Right.
You can go into depth as to what is this, and there are people who will do it, but for the most part, when you're on CTV, when you're on CBC, you have 5 minutes to say, yes, there's a new show at the museum, and because they have a good spread, let's give them a mention so
and
that I can go next.
And that's where it ends. Yeah. To get down to the interesting discussions like we're having here is after a couple... cups of coffee or a couple of glasses of wine within the reception.
You don't even need the couple of glasses of wine or coffee. It's they're people who go to the show, who do know their art. They're the people who buy the catalog because they are lucky enough to have the excess cash that they can afford it. Because, oh man, it's a really, really, they're actually two catalogs and they're very, very nice catalogs. I just wish I could have gotten them. But yeah, they will discuss it. It's much more of a personal thing and individual thing than a sort of, this is the way to put a spin on it.
Okay. So do you then suggest we go see the show?
As I said, if you can get in for free or cheap or half price, yes.
Okay.
Not full price. The other advantage is, and I do think supporting the museum is wonderful. The easiest way is what I do is I've actually coughed up the money to be a member.
Okay.
Which means I can get in for free all the time.
Excellent. And apparently next week you'll be talking to us about a Milan art presentation.
Which one? There is Paolo Brusati.
Yeah, a little preview.
Yeah, Paolo Brusati, who's got a show at Yellowfish Art Gallery, and she is a wonderful, wonderful sculptor. And she's taken pretty much what is your yoga mat, and she slices it up into strips and turns it into really pretty sculptures.
Hmm.
Very pretty sculptures?
Very pretty sculptures.
Something that's something to look forward to next week.
That's one of the cool things about art is when you take something that you think is one thing and you turn it into something mm-hmm. else. And it's what she has done, because when was the last time you thought a yoga mat was anything anything more than just something to protect your knees and your feet?
Well, when was the last time I thought a can of tomato soup was anything more than, you know, a can of tomato soup?
You have before, I would imagine, if you know that it's now in behind a frame and it's made by Andy Warhol.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So very interesting stuff, Chris. Thank you very much for keeping us up to date on the museum scene.
Thank you very much.
Look definitely forward to the Arts Review.
My pleasure.
Segment that we'll be hopefully bringing to you on Fridays here at CKUT.
Sounds like a plan.